بيتشو لاب الكاتيتر بتاعت الكوميشن دي بروسيدر تو بي فولوز اس فولوز ذات اور كول فور نومينيشن اند ذن ميمبر ويل هاف فروم ذا فلور اند ذن اور ايفر تيك اون ذا اوسو اف ذير اون وان نومينيشن ذات بيرسون ويل بي ديكلير اند ذن اف ذير ار مور ذان وان نومينيشن means the name of the nominee will be put to a vote, and then the member who has got the majority of the vote will be declared chairperson. So now I'll proceed to call for nomination. Honorable candidate.
Thank you. On behalf of the ANC, we hereby nominate the name of Advocate Honorable Olomi.
Advocate Olomi has been nominated. Any second?
The name of
Chief
Secretary of the
Economy,
Secretary
of the Agriculture. Any other nomination? No nomination. Any objection? Advocate of Minister, you have been elected the chairperson of the Agriculture Committee, the team of Berlin, the ISP, so you can come and take over.
I hope I'll be able to discharge the responsibilities bestowed on me to your satisfaction. And for me to be able to do that, of course, I shall rely on your background. There's the draft agenda that is before me. I don't know if everyone is finished. Let me take an interview. The draft agenda is about the election of the chairperson, which has been done. Then it's discussion on the committee procedure in progress. And then after that, maybe on some other day, committee deliberation for the proposed commissioners. Then on another day, consideration of the draft report on the nomination of electoral commissioners. And then adoption of the report from the electoral commission. I would imagine the three items, last item, need not necessarily take place on 3 days. Depending on what progress we need, we might collapse some of these items into one day. But in any event, yeah, are there any comments on the draft agenda the proposed? Like, say, when you are sent people. As you heard, my name is Olumisa. who is next?
I'm sorry to ask, we don't all have the ATC in front of us, you know, just as the turn date, the deadline for the committee to be approved. Can we perhaps have that?
It should have been done. This is the document that gives us the direction and money for what we have to do and do. So that means everybody else doesn't have COVID on the 30th. It's always like this with ad hoc committees. Usually I know support structure. So sometimes certain things that are supposed to happen don't happen. Because indeed, the, that AGC is the one that ought to guide us so that we know how much time we need in order for us to be able to do our work. While we are waiting for copies made available, those who have the copy of this might want to look at paragraph 7, which is a motion made by without notice by the city copy. They wanted to come in.
I think everybody needs to have a copy of that resolution, and I don't know if you can give out the Electoral Commission Act. But the resolution basically was nominating persons for appointment from a list of recommended persons by this panel, and we have to report by the 22nd of October. But maybe it would be useful if somebody who's just gone through the process so far.
We need to assist in that process to help this AGC that contains the resolution setting us up as a special committee. And then we have the report by the Chief Justice. I take it everyone agrees that this yellow package. But in that yellow package, you have the report of the letter of the Chief Justice to Mr. Sewell informing Parliament that they have been constituted in terms of the relevant section of the Act, Electoral Act. They have interviewed a number of candidates for the Electoral Commissioners, and they made a short list of a certain number of candidates. I think there are 10. But there were 17, but they forwarded 10 names after having interviewed all of them. And these 10 names, they are the names they believe of people who qualify to be considered for appointment as the commissioner. We are required, therefore, to select out of these 10, 4 people who will then be presented to the National Assembly, right after they will be forwarded to the President. And then the President, of course, will decide who should be the chairperson and who should be the deputy chairperson. The reason why selecting four is because there's one commissioner who is still 10 is not about to expire, because he was appointed to fill a vacancy that was occasioned by the passing away of the existing commission. And out of these four commissioners, some will be on a full-time basis, while others will be on a part-time basis. I do not know how many are supposed to be. You know how many are supposed to be full-time, and how many are supposed to be, but Mr. Will establish. So this document then gives us a picture of what kind of people these are. But we also, besides the note that summarizes the basis on which that panel chose these people, we have CVs of all of these people, as well as the people or organizations who nominated them for consideration for appointment. Now, of course, we'll be guided by the relevant section in the Constitution. We'll be guided by the Electoral Act as to how we're supposed to go about doing our work. We'll be guided by the relevant rules in the rules of the National Assembly. And I imagine we will also be guided by our own intellect regarding what criteria we want to follow in order to satisfy ourselves that we elected the kind of people that are required by the nation to run an important program as important as the election of the country and the provincial, national, and the local government. So, this means then that we need to deliberate a bit about the procedure that we want to follow. Now, we, for instance, in a position today, now, in this meeting, to talk about the deliberate on this name, as I don't know, which means we need to give ourselves time to go and individual members of the party go and have a look at this. These things and then come back at an appropriate time to say what is involved. The ad hoc committee, we know each other by face, we don't know by name.
Thank you, Jacobson. My name is Annette Lovemore. Chair, I just wanted to understand on the schedule of Home Affairs portfolio committee meetings, there's a meeting scheduled for Friday, the 21st of October, which is specifically for the consideration of candidates for the Electoral Commission. And I wondered if we could just have clarity on that. Is that a Home Affairs Committee meeting or is it an ad hoc committee meeting?
Initially, when we did the program, it was before the ad hoc committee was established. So we didn't know that, so it would be referred to the ad hoc committee. So that's why we
just to check, for the sake of completeness, that before we proceed and deliberate on the issues that you have outlined, whether the secretary has anything to add to the very elaborate and detailed background that you provided.
Maybe not bad, because I wanted to propose that we ask Honourable Jeffrey to just step us through. From the perusal of the document, it seems that the panel interviewed a total of 17, except that one person was not available for the interview. And was it then a narrowed down list that was submitted to Parliament for us to select from? So it's no longer a list as shortlisted from the 69 original nominations. Can we just have clarity about that? So there was a 69 nominations. It was narrowed down to 17 for interviews. And after the 17 were interviewed, one of whom could not make it, there was another list compiled which was a shortened shortlist. Is that correct? Could Honourable Jeffrey just perhaps just take it through that?
I don't know what I said, but would you like to explain it even more on the revision? Because what happened was that a call was made to the nation for people to nominate people for consideration. And then someone will look at the list and determine whether all of these people qualify to be considered. Then, as I understand it, there must have been that 69 that you mentioned. And then the others were cut out, and we were left with 17 people. And then from all the 17 were interviewed. Out of those interviews, that panel decided on 10 that are before us to be considered by Parliament for selection from amongst the persons that would then fill the vacancy. JJ?
Yeah, I think you covered it, so I don't think I need to raise anything there. But this may be then what I was going to say, which is that I would suggest, I would support your proposal that we consider the documentation before us, the pack from the Chief Justice, and the letter from the Chief Justice outlining those aspects, and then the nomination, the CVs and the nomination letters. And then we set dates for next week to deliberate on the nominations. We have to come up with four names to recommend to the National Assembly. It's basically we've got to narrow down the 10 to 4. And we need time to look at that and to consider it. And if we then look at meeting next week, I'm sure there will probably be challenges in terms of finding dates but around the existing committee meetings. But if we need to meet in the evenings or after the normal sessions, then so be it. But I don't think we can set a date now. I think the other thing is that we should try and finish our work as soon as possible. The term of office, I mean, I've heard conflicting reports as to whether it's the 20th of October, but I think the intention, we have to report by the 27th of October, but I think the intention in terms of the parliamentary program is to have this before the House for the 25th, which is the first sitting of the House. So I wanted to suggest that we adjourn to consider the documentation and then at the next meeting we then go through the name. I understand, I mean, these people have been interviewed, and I understand that is the normal practice and is followed by Parliament in terms of then considering the report from the interview.
I think that's one thing we need, and I don't know whether now I think we should, because we don't have much time. I think these people, as you say, they have already been interviewed by that panel. So what is left for us is to look at the report that they submitted to them. Not necessary for us to conduct any further interview. Is that our position? Then what we need to proceed to consider is the time that we should suppose to meet. Next week is committee work week, and a number of the members of this committee are chairperson and maybe weeks of committee. So it's going to be difficult for them to be available at normal hours. So we need to consider meeting in the afternoon.
I'm thinking aloud that past experience has revealed that sometimes objections are launched by members of the public in the court or after candidates have been nominated, recommended for appointment. Whether this 10 short list of 10 it has been punished in any form, and as if not, whether the ATC would not be the appropriate instrument to make that information public, so that when we eventually sit to consider them, there's been public notice of what the committee is going to be selected from. The thought that might preempt those kind of situations.
What is it done in your experience? Because you said that you had the name put on the ATC. And how is that going to be done for?
No, I'm just asking a special question. If
I'm thinking Bill.
Thank you. I think that we should stick to what
create a situation where we would be all of us highest no experience of taking care of me on the self-sufficient people, because that one is going to me, then it's saying that we are questioning all there would be further interference in the process of the people that have conducted the interview as well as the work that we shall take. So I would I'm countering that.
Let's bear in mind that some persons actually took me aside. But as I understand, as I read the document from the Chief Justice, these people interviewed public in the open. Mm. So those who are interested would have known that what has happened, the process is that has been promised. And so it is also something that is necessary for the public beyond what is.
Yes, in agreement with that. I mean, the names of the 17 were published. I mean, I saw them. I've also seen in the media that the names of the 10. The requirement in the Electoral Act was the panel which conducted the interviews, that's the panel of the Chief Justice, Public Protector, Human Rights Commission, Gender Commission, etc., to act in accordance with the principles of transparency and openness. So nothing that indicates that they haven't. And ours then is basically to consider the report from the Chief Justice and the accompanying documents. And I don't think it is for us to engage in any new process. I don't think that is necessary. And there's been no provision for it. So I think ours is simply to consider the report of the Chief Justice from the panel.
Let's also have some views now on the suggestion that let's consider getting the committee section finding time for us in the evening next week, since the committee work week. We don't want to interfere with the problems of the committee, but at the same time we want to do some work for the committee. Okay.
Thank you, sir. On page, I think it's a section 2D. It outlines the processes of the Act, There's so many documents here. The Act outlines the composition, and I think what comes what Honorable Justice has just alluded to with regard to the processes. This is exactly what we should have started up with at the very outset of this meeting, so that we don't go sideways in trying to identify what needs to be done. And Chairperson, the task as well as it might be afforded to you, but I think as a process, Parliament should have made provision before we even begin to say this is a brief according to the processes, so that when we get to talk about this whole process, why at least informed by that. Now we're doing it in this meeting, which I'm comfortable with that. But my suggestion further is that there shouldn't be any need for us to sit down and interview these people here. We just see with the cities that are available and have enough information, unless there's a need outside the available information that we need someone to appear. I think there should be that provision where there's an information that needs a person to respond in person before the committee here. But it's always very much unlikely that you get that unless there's insufficient information. And I think the experience that we have as a committee of Home Affairs from that committee, recently we dealt with the vacancy that existed. One of the challenges was when we had information that was very limited, then we had to seek more information, and it was at least given to us at some stage. So that is my request. I will continue, and I suppose that we have meetings, even if it's at night, I will be able to come and attend so that we can see the details and nothing.
And maybe that's why I agreed that there will be no need for interview of the candidates who have already been interviewed by panel led by the chief justice. And you are agreed that we shall seek to meet in the late assembly in the course of next week to do our work. When I said to Marcella that the documents that will be guiding us, I wanted members to do exactly what you're saying, that they satisfy themselves as to where do we get the authority to do our work. And it's in the Constitution, it's in the Electoral Act, which is actually Electoral Commission Act 51 of 1996, Section 6. I saw you referred to, had you referred to 2G, I don't quite know which one, but the Act has been amended over a period of time, but the one that is relevant is Act 51 of 1996, and the Section 6, which talks about the composition of commission and appointment of commission. Of course, the rules will also guide us. Is there anything else that you believe we need to say or do before we attend?
I just want to understand, with respect to full-time and part-time, when we're considering these applications, I think some of the people are, for instance, would prefer full-time, so others say that they would prefer part-time. Is there a requirement? I don't see it in the law. Is there a requirement that there must be so many full-time, so many part-time commissioners that we should take into account when we're considering this?
Yes, indeed. I have not established myself as to how many are supposed to be full-time, how many are supposed to be part-time. All I know is that there are some who you have some information in that regard?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Chair, there is nothing in the law that says this number should be full-time or this number should be part-time. But since the Commission started, three of the Commissioners have been full-time. Three have been full-time. And two have been part-time. That is the judge and also one of the commissioners. So that has been the practice, Jefferson. Part-time. The judge is part-time.
The judge.
He is part-time, yes, because he is the judge of the court. He's full-time at court and part-time the side.
I think it's basically up to the president. My copy of the act, unfortunately, doesn't have good numbers, but there is another sub 2, which I can't sort of quite see. Let me just have a look here. But it's basically it talks about the it's 7.2 of the act. Conditions of service, etc., determined by the President after consultation with the Commission for Remuneration, and a distinction may be made between commissioners appointed in a full-time and part-time capacity. So my reading of that would be it would be up to the President to determine who is full-time, who is part-time, as the President also determines the chair and the deputy chair. That our job is effectively to forward four names.
Yeah, who is in a position to advise us of the advisability, or do we say, let's just leave it to the president? But I think as we select the people ourselves in this committee, we need to have an idea as to how many people we'd like to be part-time and how many we'd like to be part-time.
Thank you, sir. If you also look at the register, it says the candidates must indicate whether they want to serve on the full time
or part-time basis. That's why I would like to address the people who are living as a person discussion. I think someone must come to the room.
So the that is current would be one of the
it takes us back to my initial submission that a brief either by the state attorney on the processes whilst we are of course familiarizing ourselves with hence we are doing so, but it should however be one of the possibilities that we look at now, whether or not our mandate, we'll be trying to define our mandate as I'm listening, and we cannot wishy-washy and willy-nilly deal with that process and leave this meeting unaware or unsure what exactly our mandate ought to be. Yes, the statute is here before us. We will satisfy ourselves, but I think we should leave here very clear that this is the mandate that we have, and this deliberation will in fact be around certain bounds within the constitutional framework.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm a bit confused as to what is it that we are discussing. Because the mandate of the type of policy up to me is very, very clear. And it has been explained, it has been raised in this document, and yet it is difficult for us, for some of us, to interpret and understand written information in the same way that you understand verbal information. The point that I'm making is that if we need briefing, let us not move from the primary last time. We don't understand them. The mandate is vague. The mandate is not vague. What could be the issue is that for some people, it is difficult to understand written information. They prefer information to be given in a verbal form.
No, I think
you might want to help us here because it's clear that we have to select four people. Some of those people must be selected on the basis that they will be full-time. Others, they will be part-time. Now, do you know how many we're supposed to select to be on a full-time basis and to be on a part-time basis? That is what we're grappling with here.
I sympathize with my colleagues. I mean, our job is to select four people, okay? It is up to the president then to determine full-time, part-time, not us. Okay, we don't have any power for that. In the past,
to keep that in mind.
Yeah, in the past, it was three full-time and two part-time. Obviously, the judge had to be part-time, otherwise there wouldn't be a judge anymore. There would be a retired judge. So it's basically four names. And up to the president then to determine who is full-time and who is part-time. If you look at the Chief Justice's letter, he does indicate for each person what their preference is, full-time and part-time. But with each of them, and I've checked each of them, it's a preference. Okay, it's nothing. None of them say I am only available full-time or I am only available part-time. It is a preference. Mr. P. Graham, he prefers to serve on a part-time basis. Father Mkachwa, he prefers to serve on a part-time basis. Advocate Sakula, she prefers to serve on a full-time basis. So in a sense, nobody is saying I'm only available for the one and not the other. And I think it's a question of that we come up with four names. And it's up to the president to determine that whether one, we imagine the commissioner would have, the chairperson would have to be full-time. So it's up to the president to determine whether one is full-time and the remaining three are part-time, or whether all four are full-time.
But whether we would be sitting here or not, but suppose we elect that we choose people who say they are available, only prefer to be on a part-time, and then they are appointed on a full-time basis. And then what if the person says, no, I think they prefer to be part-time.
Okay, it's a preference, not they were not saying I'm only available. You know, if somebody said I'm only available on a part-time basis, then I think one would have to be careful about that. But nobody has said that. They've all said preference. So I think, and preference means it's something I would prefer, I would like, but if I don't get it, it's not the end of the world, I'll still do it. So I don't think there's anybody here who would not be available from this on the basis that they haven't got their preference.
So then that they understood the use of that word in the very same way that you do, because indeed, that's what it means, but that's possible.
Yes, Jen, I agree with Jason. Clearly the authority to make this determination as to part-time or full-time is with the president, not full-time. So I would actually propose in that regard that we don't really take even the preference or anything like that into consideration. We just make our recommendations. We need to recommend four people and that's it. And that the president then, in terms of 7-2, it seems, has to, then apply his mind to the part-time, full-time matter. And I think, in general, I don't agree that we need a new briefing on processes or whatever. I think the process is quite clear what we need to do. We need to take these names that we have here, and on the basis of what we have in front of us, make a recommendation of four people, the authority to decide the part-time, full-time matter is with the person and not the authority.
Thank you. Just to say, obviously, the panel felt that it was important in their summary to us to include the fact that there was a preference. So I would think that panel was expecting for some reason that we needed that information. And that would obviously now affect us. And we do have guidelines in terms of what we heard of what's been done before, so I suppose that's where we will be thinking. So if it's here, it will affect our thinking on
that point. Chairperson, what will hamper our process without preempting the future of this committee is when we become impatient and intolerant of dissent. We must accept that we have a duty, and all of us sometimes prepare our different ways and styles in approaching it. Hence, we are members of Parliament. Julie said with the mandate to serve in this committee, my question was very simple, and it has not been responded to. All the persons that are talking here, honorable members, are simply referring to what they think these people have had in mind. Ubawon goes by Nifuninyama and Abani Fish for the Elance in Nifuninyama, goes by Ikone, the fish. Now, at the other moment, these people are not here. So, if either we are given information that is very clear, whether these sentences. The request that I am making, and hopefully other members are making, is that we want to continue with the work that is before us. But let us be clear so that we don't just take a person and the next thing the person says sorry. Then we have to come back and sit in these committee meetings again and trying to identify names. So that is my request. That is my request.
Thank you, Sean. I think if you look at the CV, they actually do provide some clarity. René Talliot, for instance, has said, I accept nomination to serve as Commissioner on the Electoral Commission of South Africa on a part-time basis. Mr. Paul Graham says, I would only be available to serve in a part-time capacity. So we must just note that when we are going to, it's not just a preference, it's saying we are only available. It's very, very clear.
Hello, maybe you are a politician, but to me, makes perfect sense that when we consider a person, we are going to look at what his or her preference is and see whether it doesn't make sense to appoint, to recommend him on the basis that at least there will be so many people out of the four that will present to the president who have indicated the desire to be on a full-time basis and some who appear to want to be there on a part-time basis. So obviously, as we deliberate and take a decision, that's what will be in our mind as well, regardless of the fact that the president, in any event, has the final say as to who we appoint. The point that we've just made, that some have said, they accept on the basis that they will be part-time. That, we can't just ignore that. So that's obvious, it's common sense. Do you want to continue discussing this matter? Mike, and then we can go and then Joyce, and then Kilian.
Yeah. Chair, I just wanted to point out that based on what's read from the Act itself, it is clear that the Act envisages a situation where it is okay for some commissioners to be part-time and for some commissioners full-time. The Act does not prescribe proportionally as to how many should be either. Now, it therefore means that the issue of part-time or full-time is not a question of law, but it is a question of discretion, whoever exercises that discretion. In this instance, as JJ the president determines the conditions of service and in doing so would indicate whether somebody will be part-time or full-time. But for our purposes, we need to satisfy ourselves whether there is any legal requirement in making a selection that a certain percentage be part-time or full-time. And at this stage, apart from the practice or past experience, I wouldn't even call it a practice, because we don't know whether that was necessarily an accident of history, that so many were part-time and so many were full-time, except of course in the case of the judge, which is obvious, and possibly in the case of the chairperson, because they have to lead the institution. And maybe that might, from a logical point of view, explain itself, but other than that, we have no rule that prescribes percentages between part-time and full-time. Now, where does that leave us? I would say that in the absence of such a guide, we cannot ourselves here then determine the percentages. All we can do is to deal with the names that are before us and choose the most preferred candidate that we want to recommend for appointment. Bearing those points in mind, I don't think we can more than that, because we can split heads here trying to work out how many should be part-time, how many should be full-time. What's going to come from that? Are we going to go back to the previous commissioners and ask them what worked then? Are we going to ask the remaining staff who exactly is going to give us a reliable guide anyway, even if we were to take that into consideration in determining the percentage of full-time and part-time. So I would say, in the light of having nothing in the law that prescribes the one or the other. All we can do is to look at the name, that it fires on for that, the best candidate we can put forward, and put them forward accordingly.
I did make a comment earlier that one of the things we have to apply our minds to as we go and is to our study community. We have to look at the criteria that we want to follow in order to ensure that the people who select or select are the ones that are going to serve for us in the executive committee. I'm not sure if we don't want to hold this discussion in our study group before, if we still want to continue talking about it, because everybody has expressed in the way they see what the commission, what is the X square.
Yes, I was going to propose as we close the debate, because the debate doesn't take us anywhere. We have the necessary information in front of us that the commission is composed of full time and part time. There is no further information that says how many full time and how many part time. And to assist us arrive at a decision, we have been presented with information on each candidate that is not only centered on the issue of preference of being a part time or full time. There are lots of other issues that we need to consider to arrive at those points. So let us not try and read the outcome of the process that is beyond us. Let us deal with what is our mandate. And I think that we have exhausted this matter, and propose that we close it now. Thank you.
Anyone who still wants us to open this one, has to open?
No, we cannot open it. It's completely unnecessary. But just to indicate, the discussion that we have certainly shows the difficulty of having people being interviewed somewhere, then they come for the coalition. We have something that we wish, you know, at least we had this, so we had a very, you know, it shows us things in terms of this, but nonetheless, we were not necessarily wanting to reopen this, but part of it is there. But now, the issue that I wanted to actually, I agree, but let's speak to what is our mandate, you know, to just remove the coalition. There's an additional issue that I needed to actually put forward, depending on if it will be acceptable or not, but it can be discussed a lot of time. If after was recommended the four candidates that we think that preferable, we do additional two candidates in the light that any of the candidates identified for some reason decide to pull out, it will save time for the actual committee, so that when there's a gap between there's a comment form, and then we say this to be in the light of any event when anyone falls off. That's what I just wanted to sort of suggest.
When we deliver it, we take that into account. We still want to say something more.
On another matter, Chief of thank you, Chief of Staff. I think this issue of part time and full time was adequately deliberated on. Obviously, the information at hand will assist us in that process. However, I just want to say something else, and that is, because we are dealing with a Chapter 9 institution, must we therefore take it that the panel who interviewed the candidates and compiled the shortlist has actually also determined the suitability of the candidates from safeguarding the integrity of the Electoral Commission? Meaning, if we look at the Act, it says that none of them should harm the credibility, impartiality, independence, and the independence and the integrity of the Commission. In other words, politically independent.
has that been scrutinized as well? Because I would like to support the previous speaker who said this is the difficulty when you do not do your own interviewing. It's done somewhere else. And we must now just say as a committee of the National Assembly, of Parliament, that we can vouch for the impartiality of the panel of the commissioners that we will present to Parliament. I think that is also a critically important component. We know some of the shortlisted candidates have in the past or maybe still currently involved with political organizations, and we actually needed to know the current status so that we know when we propose the commission that it is a commission that would carry the impartiality label of what is determined and what is necessary according to the Constitution. Chapter 9, thank you.
Yeah,
it's
very document that we need to read so that we satisfy ourselves that we know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do. The Act does state what kind of people are supposed to be appointed. These people provide their CVs to the panel. And the panel said under the supervision of chairmanship of the future aspect of the country. So therefore, unless there would be a risk for us to believe that they didn't apply their mind to what was expected of them and the candidate, we cannot be going behind into what they have been supposed to do. And that's the reason that we did. For instance, on the question of political profile, there is six, section 6.2a, no, section 2.6.2b. Does not at that stage have a high political profile. These CVs do indicate the kind of political activity these people were involved in. And at the end of the day, it's not only that the South African who is not involved in one way or the other with the political activity. So we oppose for the But do you want to continue this debate, ladies and gentlemen?
The reason why I asked that is I did not want to rule out the possibility of this committee engaging in further interviews. That's just from my side, from my political organization side, I want to say that we may want to request this ad hoc committee to actually, if we seem not to find each other in the composition of the electoral commission, it would perhaps be necessary for us as an ad hoc committee to also interview some of the candidates, because we must present to Parliament and to the nation a unified approach to the composition of the electoral commission. Thank you.
The longer we sit, the more we seem to find things to talk about. But I just really wanted to appeal that look, we may not agree with the process, but this is the process that is set out in the Electoral Commission Act that was passed by this House, I think probably unanimously. We're looking at names nominated by a panel. The panel is of very high-ranking, eminent people. Chief Justice, Head of the Human Rights Commission, Gender Commission, Public Protector. They have interviewed these people, 16 or 17 of them. They have then come, in terms of sub 5, make recommendations with regards to a person's suitability, qualifications, and experience. Okay, so these are all people, these attendants we have are all people whom this eminent, and I don't think you can use any other word to describe it, this eminent panel has recommended to us. So our job is now to look at the documentation we've seen, the report from the Chief Justice, the chair of that eminent panel, and the CVs, and the people who've nominated, and then deliberate and decide what. So I don't think we should, I'm worried this committee seems to be acting as though this panel from just drew the names out of a hat. But really, Chair, I don't think we need to continue deliberating on it. And the longer we sit here, the more we seem to find things that we want to talk about. I think our job now is to read this, to consider it, and then to come back and discuss.
Thank you.
Can I just put the record straight on this matter? I did not cast any aspersions on the panel. I just said that we as a committee...
So they might have appointed nominated somebody who wasn't qualified.
I have said it may become necessary for us to just open the door to further interviews. And I think that is where the parliamentary ad hoc committee sits. I think it should be their prerogative.
But if they think that two areas that we are not going to conduct interviews of this people who have been interviewed by this panel.
No, I'm not invalidating that position. I've just said, can we perhaps reconsider it? If that is the ruling that he's making from the chair, then I accept it. But the fact of the matter is, Chairperson, I did not want us to engage in sort of interaction that is not going to take the process forward. I have said, and I've requested, that we just consider that as a possibility. Clearly, it possibly would not be necessary. But there were issues raised here as far as part-time, full-time, etc. And thereafter, I thought maybe it's not a bad idea to keep that as a possibility. But there's no hard and fast rule. I will accept it if the majority feels otherwise. I will accept the outcome. Thank you.
I'm happy that we decided that we're not going to be interviewing these people. Of course, we'll hold the deliberations. They will discuss with each and say whatever it is that we want to say before you come to a decision. Why do people want to continue to talk when...
No,
that's a good question. Yes, no.
Chair, it's most unusual for us to get something only in hard copy nowadays. Is this not available electronically? The CD?
I do read it electronically, then.
You did speak about working in our study groups. It's a lot easier to share information electronically than it is by making copies.
Yes,
yeah.
Are they available?
They'll find out.
If it's possible, they'll schedule it. Mike?
I just wanted to appear to rest assured that...
He's debating with you like this.
No, just simply to say that all the information, I think, that is necessary before us, we are at liberty as honorable members to put forward our motivation for any candidate from any point of view, including whatever point of view you would want to put forward. So in that context, I think you should be covered when we get to looking at the specific individual names. That's the main problem.
Yeah,
that's
I was going to say, that it looks like these are hard copies, but maybe they can be scanned and
yeah, that's what I was saying. They will look into that and make sure with the technology that is in front of Parliament, make it possible for LAFMOR and others to get into the meeting. Is at hand. Thank you very much. Then we will be informed about the time and venue of next week, and the course of next week.
I'm like the wicked. Number 6, after number 10, the guy who wasn't there came to the Thank you. Thank you.